Blog Talk Radio.
This keeps me going on those days when I feel like giving up. Fire.
Else.
my fears.
Remember this.
Your storm is over. I believe your rain is gone away.
Clouds have moved.
I believe you'll make it through it.
About your future.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord on tonight. We give God praise, glory, and honor for you and the Holy Spirit being with us on tonight. This is our weekly Bible study. Pastor Anthony Simmons here. And we thank God for you as we go into the Word of God, the written Word of God. Jesus, when the enemy tried to tempt him, he said, time and time and time again, it is written. It is written. And the Word declares that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. He told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night, and you will find good success. Psalm 1, hallelujah. Meditate on the word day and night, and everything you put your hands to will prosper. You will be like a tree planted near streams of living waters. And everything you do, the word declares, shall prosper. This is why we got to become students of the word. We got to, faith coming by hearing, hearing through the word of God. We got to, glory be to God, study to show ourselves approved people of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. The enemy's trying to make our lives so busy, so occupied, so full of things that are not of God. But we got to find time. We got to make time. We got to, amen, create time for God. And I'm already in my lesson. But we thank God. We thank God for you on tonight. Let us open in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, this is your day you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Father God, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and a mind, Lord, hallelujah, that is open and objective to your word. You said we are to be changed and transformed by the renewing of our minds. So, Lord, help us on tonight to renew our thinking, to change the way we think, to open up our understanding, for your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So let this mind be in us tonight, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we praise you in advance. We give you thanks in advance. We give your name glory in advance. Now use me, your man servant, on tonight as we study the word, as we share the word, as we dialogue about the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you can, go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6, is where we're going to begin tonight. And I'm going to disclose and share what we're going to talk about as I read the scripture first. God has placed this in our spirit, even at the election on tomorrow. Some were surprised, some weren't. But it is what it is. Donald Trump is our president-elect, and for 4 years he will be the president of this greatest nation on God's planet. And we got to pray. We got to stand united as a country. We have to believe that God is in total control regardless of who got in office. But we thank God, amen, for these United States of America, because we are a blessed nation, and we want that to continue. Matthew chapter number 6, Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what your body will do, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? He goes on and talks about the birds of the air, how God provides for them. They don't reap, they don't sow, but God continues to provide. Look at verse number 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Then he goes on and talks about the lilies of the field being clothed in their raiment, paraphrasing that God even clothed the grass of the field. I'm just brushing through the scripture because I want to get to what we're going to talk about tonight. And he says, if God can take care of the grass and the lilies of the field, he says in verse number 29, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you or take care of those necessities Jesus was just talking about? Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the first message of Jesus. This is important. He says, oh, you of little faith, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows, God knows, that you need them, and I need them. But, I love it. Matthew 6:33 says, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given or added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. He said, each day has enough trouble on its own. Jesus decided to put this in the Sermon on the Mount, telling us not to worry about tomorrow. There's enough in today, in these 24 hours that you and I have right now. He said, there's enough right now to put our mind towards. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of God. If he gave you food today, if he clothed you today, if he took care of you today, thank God, praise God, give God glory for sufficiency. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Putting and keeping God first. We need to put God and we need to keep God first. That's what we're talking about tonight, putting and keeping God first. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you and I need will be added unto us. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Is not the body more important than clothes? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Is life not more important? Jesus is so wonderful. He's just amazing. He says, listen, if you didn't have life, the other stuff would be irrelevant. If you didn't have a body, you wouldn't need clothes. He's trying to tell you and I'm taking care of the more important things. I'm giving you life. I gave you a body. The rest is up to me. And God is telling you and I, if we keep putting him first, if we keep seeking him first, Pastor Rebecca preached a powerful word on Sunday. And it's one word that pops out even as I talk tonight. The word pursue, pursue, pursue. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek, pursue, search after it, discover, pursue, search, follow, follow after, go after, find, discover, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's too much of God to learn about, to go after, to discover. And that's why he said, preoccupy yourself and your life with these things, and good things will be attracted to you. You'll become a magnet for the things that you need. I look at the life of Moses. After the burning bush, he's talking to God. He has an encounter with God. And he gets God's voice. He understands God's voice. God begins to dialogue with Moses. Then during the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, God is speaking to Moses as he's giving him the Ten Commandments. Then we have the Ten Plagues in Egypt to give Pharaoh to let God's people go. All along, Moses is experiencing this relationship with God. Even at the Red Sea, God says, hold up your staff. Keep moving forward. God is instructing Moses, giving Moses instruction. They have this wonderful relationship, the burning bush, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Plagues, the Red Sea. And after all this, hear God, people. This is why we got to seek and search for God. Moses asked God, show me your glory. Hallelujah. After all of that, Moses still wanted to discover something else about God. He still wanted to learn something else about God. And he asked God to show me your glory. And you and I still have so much to learn about God. That's why he says, go after the kingdom. Go after me. Come after me. And everything that you need will be added unto you. Go to Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. We have so many Christians with different points of views about the election. And it kind of led me to this Mark chapter 12 here, where we got to know what's important and what's most important. And listen to how Jesus talks about this parable. It's just so wonderful. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 13. Again, I just love going through the Bible, and that's one of our intents on these Wednesday nights. We're going to go through the scriptures, not so much my opinion, but I want us to get the word of God in us. He said, get this word in you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, studying to show ourselves approved. So one of our objectives is to go through the scripture, amen, and go through the word of God. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 13, it says, later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? They're trying to trap him. They're trying to trick him. It said the Herodians. Remember Herod tried to kill Jesus as a baby? Remember Herod on many occasions tried to snuff Jesus' life out? Even in the New Testament, there was a Herod, glory be to God. And the Herodians, the people that followed Herod, are now with the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus. And the Bible says, but Jesus knew their hypocrisy. He knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He said, bring me a denarius, or bring me a piece of money, and let me look at it. They brought him the coin, and he asked them, whose portrait is this, and whose description? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we put him first, when we keep him first, when we go after the things of God, yes, 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 we have laws of the land. Yes, there are things that are going to preoccupy our time. We have to go to work. We got to provide for our families. We got to do the necessities to stay alive and to keep moving forward and to be obedient to the word. He says if we don't work, we're worse than an infidel. So we got to work to provide for our families. We have to do the things. How else can we bring the tithe into the storehouse? We got to go out in the marketplace and work. But he said, I'm more important than Caesar. I'm even more important than the president of these United States. So give them what belongs to them, but give me what belongs to me. And God is saying when we put him first, when we keep him first, things begin to happen in our lives. Things begin to just fall to place and come together in our lives. I want to go through some examples of putting God first and some people in the Bible that continue to put God first. But before I go there, one of the things that I want to share tonight is concerning Sunday worship, concerning Sunday church. Some would say Sunday being the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, very quickly. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. If you have a Bible turned there, I'm going to read through these scriptures quickly because I just want to get to this point that I want to make, and we're going to move forward with putting God first and keeping God first. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work he created and made. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Very quickly, Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 8. Exodus 20, verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do the work. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, the Lord, and thou, he said, do not do any work. Your son, your daughter, your manservant, your animals. Verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And he rested on the seventh day and made it the Sabbath and hallowed it. Finally, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Finally, look at Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 27. It says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And I understand the times have changed. But if you can get to Sunday worship, if you can come to church on Sunday, it's not time to stay home. It's not time, amen, to take a rest because we done worked hard all week. Sunday, when we come together to fellowship, we come for 4 reasons. Number 1, to rest, as I just went over. Number 2, to be restored. Number 3, to reflect. And number 4, to receive. Hallelujah. We come to rest. He said it's the Sabbath. You've been working. Come. Yes, we're coming to hear a word. Yes, we're coming to church and to do the things. But if we can get to Sunday worship service, we come to rest. We come to be restored. We come to reflect. And we come to receive, people of God. We come for these 4 reasons. I don't know about you, but I need a word every single Sunday. If I'm going to keep putting God first, if I'm going to keep keeping God first, I need to be reminded on Sunday that God is the head of my life. God is the reason I live, move, and have my being. Come on, people of God. God is the reason things continue for you and I. We shouldn't take nothing for granted. God is the reason for opportunities. God is the reason that we come to worship. He hasn't changed his mind. I'm not talking legalism. I'm not talking bondage. The only thing I tried to illustrate is a point that on Sunday, if you can, maybe I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I don't know who I'm speaking to. But if you can get to Sunday worship service, press your way. It helps us to put God first and to keep God first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is how we keep putting him first. I know for 22 years I've been saved. For 22 years, my wife and I, we're about neck to neck. We can probably count on two hands how many times we missed Sunday service. That's not to brag. That's simply to say we put him as a priority. On our honeymoon in Jamaica, we found a worship service. We went to a wedding one time in Pennsylvania, and the wedding was on a Saturday. We didn't want to drive back to New Jersey, and we found a local church all the way in Pennsylvania because we wanted to go to church on Sunday. That's how serious the Sabbath or Sunday worship service is for us. We try to be in the house of God on Sunday. That's why people say, oh, you're a pastor, you got to be there. No, we was this way when we weren't pastors. We were trying to get to church. We were trying to get to that word. We were trying to get to the people of God to assemble ourselves together because we know we couldn't do this by ourselves. It encourages me when I see you and I hear your testimony and I know you're fighting the good fight of faith. It encourages me when I know some of the things that you may be going through and you continue to press your way to the things of God. It encourages me to know why so many people, and it's prophetic, he said there would be a great falling away. But for those of us who have legs and feet and are able, let's press our way. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go, if you're still in the book of Mark, if you just didn't go to those points, I want you to go back to the book of Mark. Go back to the book of Mark, chapter number 12, verse number 41. This is something, the widow, we're looking at the widow here as they're giving alms, and there's a time of giving in the church. And Jesus, he's observing the people who are giving. And this is going to bless you because I believe this is one of the women that continued to put God first and to keep God first in spite of her circumstances. I said she continued to put God first and to keep God first in spite of her circumstances. Mark chapter number 12, Mark chapter number 12, verse number 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts of money, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few fractions of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. If that is not an example of putting God first, if that is not an example of keeping God first, I don't know what is. How many people, see, this woman understood something that many of us haven't grasped our minds around yet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Every dime, every penny, every good and perfect gift is from above. God has given you and I every good and perfect gift from above. And God is saying to you and I, even through this woman, hallelujah, even through this woman, God is saying to you and I, when you put me first, this woman, I believe her life was blessed after that moment. God saw her faithfulness. God saw her actions. God saw in the name of Jesus what she was doing. And God began, hallelujah, to bless this woman because she was faithful over a few things. And I believe God was going to make her ruler of much. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God. We thank God that there are so many people in the Bible that we can glean from, that we can learn from, that continue to put God first. And we believe that they were blessed because of it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for his blessings. We thank God that as we put him first, not worrying about tomorrow, tomorrow will take care of itself. Even with this election, there's anxiety. Sometimes there's fear and worry. Sometimes, hallelujah, glory be to God, we see disappointed, we see unrest. But God is saying, I got this. Hallelujah. God is saying, I have this under control. Lean not into your own understanding. Keep acknowledging me in all your ways, and I will direct your paths. Glory be to God. I will do this. God is saying to us, people of God, God is saying to us, it doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's leading the nation. When you keep putting me first, keep keeping me first, I will bless you. I will equip you. I will make you have a great influence even on the land. See, when the Bible says judgment starts in the house of God, it's simply saying we have more power than we realize. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. This is why the fellowship of the believers is so important. This is why we need each other, because if we watch our televisions, if we watch the news and the media, discouragement can sometimes come. We can find ourselves getting discouraged because we see the Lord, we see the way things are going, we see the way people are thinking and things are operating, and it doesn't matter whether we think it's impacting us or not. Guess what it is? He said, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. Let the wheat and the weeds come up together. So it doesn't matter. We're not in a mountain somewhere living apart or living separate from what's going on in the United States. But listen to what they did in the book of Acts. Listen to how they stayed encouraged, how they continued to put God first, how they believed the word of God and leaned on one another, trusted in one another, and they were there to hold each other's arms up. The book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse number 42. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. Let me see if that's, 242. This is after the Holy Ghost fell. This is after they spoke in tongues. After Peter rose up and said, this is that which was prophesied, that we would begin to speak in new tongues and other tongues, that we would have the power of the Holy Spirit that would invade our lives. But look at what they did to preserve and to keep and put God first. This is how they did it, and this is how we need to do it today to stay encouraged. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of breaking bread together and praying together. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles and signs followed them and the apostles who believed. all the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and their goods, and they gave everything according to each other's needs. The Bible says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together. They went house to house together. They were there praying for one another and believing with one another with sincere hearts, praising God, hallelujah, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When we don't have a sour face, when we don't have a sour countenance, people want our God. They're looking at the Republicans. They're looking at the Independents. They're looking at the Democrats. And they're saying, you're keeping them together. You Christians know something that we don't know. You're not panicking. You're not worrying. You're not fearful because we know who's in control. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Bible says God set up kings and he bring down kings. God exalt people and he brings down people. So we continue to praise God. We continue to give God glory. We continue to trust God. So be encouraged on tonight. It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter if you're disappointed. It doesn't matter if the one that you voted for did not win. We know through the book of Revelation that we win in the end. So don't, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus speaking, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. We got to believe the word. That's why I went to that scripture, don't worry about tomorrow. I can't worry. Donald Trump will be our president for the next 4 years. And prayerfully, if we pray, if we believe, he says, if my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I've been talking about seeking all night long. We got to search. We got to go after. If they do these things, they'll hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. God is going to do it through prayer. Sometimes when we see things like this happening, we see the kind of character which is in office now. We see the kind of immorality in office now. We see what's going on in the White House now and in the courthouse now. We see, hallelujah, the lack of godliness in our nation now. But he says if we pray, we can turn it all around. If we pray, we can do something about it. If we pray, it is not hopeless. If we pray, hallelujah, it is not useless. He's saying, why are you not doing what I told you to do, people of God? I told you, my people, if you pray, you will see results. I pray. Pastor Rebecca and I pray. We pray for our family. We pray for our marriage. We pray for our church. We pray for the state of New Jersey. We pray for these United States of America. We pray for the world abroad. I got a brother who's an evangelist. People are getting saved in the Philippines. He says droves of people are giving their lives to Christ in these third world nations. Him and his wife go through these poor nations. He's a clown. He's a Christian clown. He puts on a big nose, a red nose, and big old shoes and clown clothes. This is my older brother, Larry McCray. And he puts on these outfits, and he goes and he ministers to the children to get them saved. And then his wife is an evangelist. She preaches the word of God. And these two are going around the world. Germany and Philippines and the Netherlands, they're going around the world and people are getting saved. They're not stuck looking at what's going on, what's happening. They're encouraged. And I want to encourage you to do your part. I want to encourage you to keep the faith. I want to encourage you like they did in the book of Acts. The Bible says when they did this, when they fellowship with one another, they broke bread together. They prayed for one another. They went house to house. They stayed encouraging one another. The Bible says, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, that you might be healed. When I was sick with cancer, the church prayed for me. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. My wife prayed for me. My church family prayed for me. The prayer line prayed for me. I had so many people sending prayers my way. My wife just prayed for our neighbor. She told me in the driveway, pray for our neighbor who's having surgery on tomorrow. Encourage his heart. Encourage the man of God to let him know that everything is going to be all right. When God is in control, hallelujah, if God be for you, who can be against you? And she prayed for our neighbor, and I'm sure he was encouraged. And I thank God, as you tuned into this prayer line, that you will be encouraged tonight, that you will not let your heart be troubled, but you will be encouraged. Let's look at another person who continue to put God first. But before we go there, this is why the word of God is so powerful. Just go to Jeremiah chapter number 20, verse number 9. This one verse is going to bless you tonight. Remember Jeremiah said, before the Lord, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 1, God called Jeremiah. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I called you. So in the beginning, Jeremiah chapter 1, God is telling Jeremiah, before you were born, I called you to do a specific work in the earth realm. Now look at Jeremiah chapter number 20, verse number 9. Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I called you. And I'm watching over my word to perform it. And from chapter number 1 in Jeremiah to chapter number 20, Jeremiah was thrown in prison. Jeremiah was rejected by his people, and his people did not want to hear, even though he was a man called by God to be a prophet, they didn't want to hear anything Jeremiah said. And Jeremiah got frustrated. They called him the weeping prophet. He got a nickname called the weeping prophet because he cried for Israel. He wept that they did not receive the word of the Lord telling the people of God to repent and to turn back to God. And Jeremiah said, I'm so frustrated. I'm so sick of people. I'm so tired of these stiff-necked, rebellious, disobedient people. God, I'm done. I know you called me. I know you're watching over your word to perform it, but I'm not going to say another word to these people who don't want to hear nothing I have to say. But look at what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. Hallelujah. I need to find it. Right here he said, listen to what he said. He said, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. He said, I am weary of trying to hold this thing in. It's like fire in my heart. It's like fire shut up in my bones. And then he goes on to say, indeed, I cannot. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter, hallelujah, who's the president. We got to speak the word. We got to declare the word. We got to decree the word. We got to establish the word. We have to speak the word. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's Job. I'm getting ahead of myself because Job was another person that continued to put God first and to keep God first. And I'm here to tell you, as you tuned in tonight, as you called into this Bible study, you're showing God, Jesus, as he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, as he's looking down on this moment, he see who's on his prayer line. He see who's on this Bible study, this virtue Bible study. He know you're seeking first the kingdom of God. That's why you called in. That's why you're hungering and thirsting for the word. He also said that in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 6, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In Matthew chapter number 6, he said, when you pray, when you give, when you fast, I'm going to see it. In Matthew chapter number 5, he said, blessed is the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the persecuted, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. He keeps saying these reasons why you and I are blessed. In Matthew chapter number 7, he says, judge not unless you be judged. He said, this is why I love the word of God. And this is what helps me. You have so many people who look at your life and look at my life and sometimes want to judge us. But the Bible says, before you do that, please remove the boulder out of your eye. Remove that beam out of your eye before you can remove the speck or the little piece of dust in somebody else's eye. In other words, he's saying, we need to get ourselves together. Yes, we can look at sometimes the president. We can look at people who don't have integrity or character. But God is saying, sometimes let's work on us. Let's work on us. Let's be the best people we can possibly be for God. And that's my mission in life, is to try to become better every day. I need the word. I can't do this without the word. I see, the word said, I'm not even led to go here, but I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here. Paul said, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Or go to Romans chapter number 12. This was not in my notes, but he's telling me to go here and read this scripture. God is telling me to go here because this is important. If God is leading me here, it's for a reason. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. Hallelujah. We so need this because sometimes in the natural, as we look at this election, as we look at what's going on, and sometimes our carnal way of thinking, our natural way of thinking, our former way of thinking gets in the way. And the Bible says if we're led by the Spirit, we will not be in the flesh. And that's not always easy. Because like you, I stayed up and watched the election last night. When I woke up, my wife told me who the new president was because I fell asleep and she stayed up and watched it. But as I went through the day and went back to work and people shared their opinions on who they voted for and why they voted and why they're happy, why they're not happy, this blessed me. Romans chapter number 12 reminds us tonight. It says, I beseech you therefore before brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And watch what he says in verse number 2. This is Paul writing to the church of Rome. He's mainly writing to his Jewish brothers and sisters in Romans, the book of Romans. You had Christians who were in Rome. You had so many believers, so many Gentiles and Jews. And Paul is writing, listen to what he says, verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God, as he has dealt to every man a measure of faith. You have enough faith to win in every area of life. You have enough faith to keep it together in spite of what you see on TV. You have enough faith to win and to be victorious in every area of life. I pray you hear the Holy Ghost on tonight. You have the measure of faith, even though it doesn't seem like you. Have you ever been there where you just get the feeling or you just get the sense that you could be or should be doing more.
My God.
You could be or should be doing more than what you're doing right now. That feeling comes upon me often. It's called potential. It's called possibility. It's called opportunity. And Paul is saying, when we continue to renew our minds, when we are no longer conformed to this world, there are many people who are conformed to this world. There are many people who are dancing and operating to the things of this world. But God is saying, no, don't do this. You have a measure of faith that I have given you. You have a degree of faith that I have deposited in you. Not in Moses, not in David, not in Paul, not in Pastor Anthony or Pastor Rebecca, in you. There is a certain degree, a certain amount, a certain capacity, a certain level of faith. That's why the enemy hates you, because you keep pressing. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Some of y'all are going through hell and high water, and you're still coming to church. Some of y'all are broke, don't have a dime in your pocket. Maybe that's you, and you're still seeking God. Some of your relationships, your children acting up, your marriage is going through, your health is failing. Some of you are still, hallelujah, don't have a perfect life, but you're still praising God. You're still keeping it together. You're still searching and seeking after God. That's that measure of faith that I'm talking about. It don't make sense why you're still happy. It don't make sense why you're still praising God. It makes no sense why you still have joy unspeakable. It makes no sense to the natural mind. Your neighbors are looking at you. Your coworkers are looking at you. Your classmates are looking at you. Sometimes your spouse is looking at you and wondering why you're still praising, why you're still smiling, why you're still hopeful, why you still have faith. Because you have been given a measure of faith. You and I have this, oh, glory be to God. We have been given this gift by God. Paul said we are earthen vessels, but in us, there's a treasure. He said we're earthen vessels, but there's a treasure. In the last 22 years of being saved, I discovered so many things about my personal life. God has revealed some. See, the Bible says through Paul, he says when we look in the mirror, we don't walk away. I'm talking about in the natural. We look in the mirror in the morning. We put on our makeup. We comb our hair. We brush our hair. We brush our teeth. We put on our outfit. We look in the mirror. If something's wrong, we stay in that mirror until we get it right. Can I get an amen? You want your outfit to be tight and right. You want your hairdo to be nice. You want your makeup to be flawless. You want to present yourself as you go out into the world. When you wake up, it don't matter to nobody how you look. But when you go out, you want to present your best. And the Apostle Paul said, if something's wrong, you don't walk away from that mirror and act like you didn't see what was wrong. So it is in the spirit. As we put God first, as we keep God first, he continues to show us ourselves. Wow. This is why he hates pride, and he hates a proud. The Bible says he hates pride, and he hates a proud look. There are some people who are so prideful, that they're so proud. But the Bible says, humble yourself. The Bible says we need a spirit of humility. In other words, none of us got it all together. Can I please get an amen?
Amen.
None of us have it all together. All have fallen short of the glory of God. This is why Pastor and I, as we pastor God's people, we made it in our heart, we purposed in our heart that we will not be those pastors to beat people up. When people are down, when people are hurting, when people are feeling inferior, when people are feeling like losers and failures, it is not our opportunity to make them feel lower. Sometimes we see pastors that do that. Some are on TV, some we know personally. And some of them have big churches, some of them have large followings, but we were determined not to be those kind of pastors. We want to encourage. We want to exhort. We want to ignite you. We want to educate, empower, equip, emancipate. That's our job. Our job is to encourage. And we thank God we know our assignment. Ho-ho! We've been given a measure of faith. And don't think for one instant that we don't go through. If the enemy hates you, how much more does it hate the shepherd? How much more does it hate the leader? So Pastor Rebecca and I, we go through, but we're still praising. Ha! We go through, but we're still believing. We go through, but we're still hopeful. We're still optimistic. We still have faith. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. He's the only one mad at you. Because sometimes your children are looking at your measure of faith. Sometimes your spouse is looking at your measure of faith. Sometimes your family is looking at your measure of faith. And the fact that you're not crumbling, the fact that you're not giving up on God, the fact that you keep fighting, you keep pressing forward, you keep on keeping on, you're encouraging somebody else. I know there are some people that, me personally, Apostle Matthew Tillery, they just bought like almost a $1 million building. And they are doing some great things in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. But our Apostle and Pastor Don Tillery, they go through too. And they're, I mean, just a powerful man and woman of God, man and woman of integrity. They have a great marriage. They have a great church. They are real serious about the kingdom of God. They have sacrificed much, and God is blessing them with outward things. They have manifestation of natural things God is blessing them with. But I look at our apostle, my wife and I, and he encourages us because he goes through. And as our leader, we glean from him. We get encouraged by him. So as I speak to you tonight as your pastor, or if you're on this Bible study and we're speaking the word and you notice this from God, that you just say to yourself, Pastor Anthony, you're so on point. Sometimes I have put God first, but I have struggled keeping God first. There's a time where I want to put him first, but I get so busy, I get so preoccupied, I get so overwhelmed with life, and sometimes I don't keep him first. So thank you for this lesson tonight. I don't just need to put God first, I got to keep him first. I got to wake up and pray in the morning. Before I rush off to work, before I rush off to school, before I get through the busyness of the day, because once I step out of this house, I know my schedule is going to be hectic. I know I'm going to be busy until I close my eyes. So if I put God first, take 5 minutes in the morning, take 3 minutes in the morning, take the whatever time I need to pray and thank God for that day, thank God for keeping me safe as I leave the house. If I do that, and even pray to God to help me keep him first, because we do get busy. People of God, we have so many demands on our life today. Life is moving at the speed of thought. I heard a preacher say that, and I had to agree with it. That life is moving at the speed of thought. In other words, when somebody thinks something, boom, they're running with it. We don't have time to wait, and life is just moving at a rapid pace. So we got to make time for God, and we got to take time for God. I'm going to close, but I thank God as we continue to put him first, as we continue to keep him first, that God will honor us as we continue to honor him. God will continue to equip you. He has given you a measure of faith. Sometimes discouragement, disappointment, disillusionment, it happens to all of us. But God says, when we do this and understand the importance of putting him first in everything, in your marriage, in your career, in your ministry, God is saying, when we do this, he says everything that we need will be added to us. So be encouraged on tonight. We got the Republicans in the House and in the Congress and in the Senate, and we have a Republican president. They have a lot of control. But I'm asking you to pray over these next 4 years. I'm asking you to pray before the inauguration on January the 20th. We're asking you to continue to pray for our current president, President Barack Obama, as he transitions and has his successor. And we're asking you to pray for New Creation Church, because we have been given an assignment in the earth realm. And we thank God for this opportunity to serve God in this capacity as a local church. Pastor Rebecca is coming to pray us out, but we thank God for you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. You are worthy to be praised. And Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For life and life more abundantly, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for waking us up this morning, God, with a right mind. And God, although there is disappointment in the land, God, we thank you, Lord, that we still yet have a praise, oh God. Yet will we praise you, oh God. Yet will we give you the glory. Yet will we give you the honor. Yet will we give you the praise, because you alone are worthy, God. So, Lord, we don't care, Father God, what's going on, Father God, in the White House, because we know that you are in control, God. And Lord, right now, we bind up the hand of Satan, and we declare victory over this land in the name of Jesus. We declare victory, oh God, victory in every place, oh God, that there will be no unrest, oh God, racially, God, that there will be no unrest sexually, God, between the sexes, oh God, the women and Hispanics and Mexicans and, oh, glory, hallelujah, and blacks, oh God, will not be unduly discriminated against in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare and decree that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we declare peace be still to the land. We declare peace be still to America. We plead the blood of Jesus over every life. We plead the blood of Jesus over our church. We plead the blood of Jesus over our prayer line. We plead the blood of Jesus over every person that is connected to us. And we declare victory. We are not defeated. We are not distracted. We are not depressed and discouraged, but we are rejoicing in you, God, because you have given us your word, God, and we are seeking you first. As we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, we know that everything else is added unto us, oh God. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless your name, God. So we thank you for each and every person that's on this Bible study, Sister Carmen and Sister Maria, Sister Tika, Minister Andre, oh God. We pray over each and every person that's listening through the stream, oh God, through the media stream, oh God. We pray for those who are listening to the archives, oh God. We pray for those, Father God, who are yet coming, Father God. We pray, oh God, for Sister Rita and Sister Tanisha, oh God. We thank you and we praise you, oh God, and we magnify your name. So, Lord, continue to have your way. Have your way, God. Let your will be done, God. We thank you for divine favor. God is releasing favor over every life right now. God is releasing power over every life right now. God is releasing increase over every life right now. Come on and receive it. Come on and receive it. Lord, we pray for every household. We pray for every family. We pray, God. Lord, nothing has changed. according to your word. Yes, the guards are changing in the White House. Yes, the guards are changing in the Senate. Yes, the guards are changing in the Congress and the House, oh God. But Lord, according to your word, God, we are still right on track. According to your word, we are still pursuing. And according to your word, we are still more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So Lord, bless America. But we repent on the behalf of this country, God. Bless America, Lord. Heal America, God. Heal every broken heart, God. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for Pastor Anthony, his due diligence in bringing us the word. We thank you for the word, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for speaking to every heart. And, God, we go down from here encouraged, knowing that you are in control. So we surrender all. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We surrender all to you, God. Have your way in our lives. We surrender all. We give ourselves away to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. What a powerful lesson from our pastor, Anthony Simmons. We thank God for him and his diligence in bringing the word. We thank God we see you all. We thank God for each and every one of you who are with us on tonight. My God, we ain't going to be calling names, but we thank you for coming and pressing your way to Bible study. See us on Sunday. Press your way to the house of the Lord. Bring somebody with you. New Creation Christian Ministries, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. We start at 12:30, out by 3. Unless the Holy Spirit says different, subject to change according to the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have Children's Church this upcoming Sunday, first, second, and third Sunday, and our fourth Sunday is when we come together as families, amen, as a family, amen. So God bless you. So please continue to sow. We thank you for your seed. Lord, thank you for the seed that's being sown into this ministry to continue to keep us going, to do the work that you called us to do. And Jesus, they bless those who give. In Jesus' name, amen. Send your seed. Go to NC. Go to nccmonline.org, nccmonline.org, and sow your seed tonight. Sow your seed. Or you can go to Facebook and send it through my Facebook page. You go to Pastor Rebecca Simmons and send the seed through my Facebook page. Sow into this fertile ground. Sow, and God will surely multiply your seed. So God bless you. We love you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. Hallelujah.